Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. I wanted to take a moment to share. Right. This is for the house as well as for our global.
Any chair.
We're on live. Hallelujah, Pastor.
Yeah. Any chair will do.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, goodness.
Hallelujah. So, Pastor, I got your note today that you would like for me to remind everyone about the tallits, the oil, the books.
Yeah.
We got it all. We're loaded back up. And the way you get it is it's 101bible@gmail.com. So please send in your requests. There's tracks as well. There, sometimes we have a little trouble, you know, coming up with the words or how to open conversation when witnessing about the love of God. But we can easily do that with a track, right? Yeah. It's old school, but there's no school like the old school. It still works, amen? And it's something that if they don't want to hear or read right then, but they find it in their bag a little bit later, it's usually right on time, right? Just that little deposit, that little seed that blesses them. So we're asking if you want any track, if you want any oil, if you need any 101 Bibles, that you can request it on 101bibles@gmail.com. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well done.
Amen. Yes. I did pray for you once.
Amen. Pray me in.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Stand up one more time. I thought I prayed him in, but we're going to pray him in.
Let's pray in. If you can't stand, if you can't, it's okay. Just bow your heads where you're at.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Jesus. We thank you for this wonderful prayer service, dear Lord. We thank you for an opportunity to be again, dear Lord, with the saints, dear Jesus, just sharing the word of God, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, as we come, dear Lord, waiting to hear from you on this afternoon, dear Lord, this on fire message, dear Jesus, directly from the Holy Spirit. Let us hear it, dear Lord. Let us receive it. Let us move on it, dear Lord. Let us be excited about it in the name of Jesus. Let us praise your holy name because you are worthy to be praised, dear Lord. We hang on your word, dear Jesus, and we allow it to cause us to grow, dear Lord, in the spirit. And we thank you that we can do it together in a body, dear Jesus. Those that are global and those that are here in the house, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. How you guys doing? Elohim Tov. Ooh, that's so quiet. I hope they're not like that in heaven. I hope they're a little. Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazma.
Elohim Tov.
Amen. Yeah. Okay. Great to see all of you guys here. I really appreciate you coming. I want to say what the Lord has me to say. And what was that? What's the name of the message today, Pastor Ben? Can you see it? Put your glasses back on, young man. A word from God.
A word from God.
And this was the word that the Lord told me to give yesterday. And I don't know. Why does God tell us to do stuff? And then we like talk back to him like, well, you sure you want me? is that really? Let me pray on it. And he's like, I'm telling you. So let me try and give you the word that the Lord gave me yesterday. He said, if you think that you have a lot of time left, you're fooling yourself. And for people that don't believe in the rapture, they're fooling themselves. Even though the Lord says to occupy yourself till he comes, your occupation is very short right now. So if you don't believe in a rapture, it won't stop it from coming. If you have a 20-year plans, that won't stop it from coming. You got 4-year plans, it won't stop the rapture from coming. The Lord wants you to know that the whole world is on a very short plan right now. Now, the other thing the Lord said is that someone sent a message this morning, and it had on the wailing wall. You see how those? If you look over here, you see how these vines are growing inside of the. Well, either on this side or the other side, right now, there's the vines grew into the letters of Yod, He, Vav, which are Hebrew letters. And so, but it didn't have the last He on the other end of it. It just had Yod, He, Vav. So someone sent it to me and I was like, it's missing a hey, it's not really Yahweh. It was like, see, God wrote his name. And I was like, no, it's not really Yahweh, it's missing Yod, He, Vav, He. So Drea was listening to it this morning and she said to me, hey, they want you to listen to this message. And so I listened to it and these vines grew perfectly to spell out Yod, He, Vav, but it left out the He. Now I know that the Yod is the hand of God, the He is the Spirit of God, the Vav is salvation, and the other He is stands for the Spirit of God or those receiving salvation. Well, those receiving salvation is not on the wall. So the guy that sent it out was saying, God was telling me that this was a sign that we're leaving, right? So I said, well, that makes sense because the other Vav is stand for the spirit that receives salvation from the hand of God. And then the Lord said, what's the numerical value of it? And I said, Yod, He, Vav is 21. He says, that's the year you're in. So I was like, oh. And I'm like, he's like, so what I told you yesterday is true and it remains true. It doesn't matter whether you feel you're going to be embarrassed by saying it or not, because that was my argument with God was, well, what if, you know, God, like, I can't deal with you on that level. If I tell you to say something, you need to tell people. It's the value of it is 21. The other hay is missing because the people that receive salvation from God are gone in 21 in this year. So I've been saying it because by the time we get to Yom Kippur of this year, Yom Kippur of 2028 will be 2,520 days. The tribulation lasts for 2,520 days. Jesus returns on Yom Kippur of 2028. So you can't just extend preaching about the rapture as long as you want because it doesn't fall into the last generation. And if you've seen all the other last generation prophecies come true, all the 70-year prophecies, that wall you're looking at happened in 70 AD. It came true, okay? Babylonian 70 years, it came true. The prophecy over Tyre, 70 years, it came true. The only difference between the last generation is that God said it will be 80 instead of 70, which is 2028. So we have the privilege of saying we believe God and we're preparing ourselves to leave, or we have the privilege to say, you know, I don't believe it. I just believe I got many, many years to go. And Jesus is not really coming because he's not going to fulfill the Bible. So in saying that, God was giving me the message for today, because a lot of people that are left, that are going to be left, is left because of the doctrine that they believe. Yeah. Okay? Because I used to think that all you have to do is believe that Jesus exists in heaven, or you believe that he came to the earth and he, you know, long as you believe he existed, that you believed in God, okay? One of the friends of my mom who was growing up, he used to always say he doesn't believe in God. And we used to go, ooh, he don't believe in God. And then I would take him outside and look, show him the cloud. And I was like, there's God right there. But we don't have an understanding of God, right? So as you get older, you may have joined a church that gave you the right hand of fellowship, which is a Freemason thing. They don't, God never said, except him, go up front and get the right hand of fellowship. But that's what they used to do. But that's what Freemasons do. They give you this right hand and they teach you the secret handshake of how to enter into the temple and all of this stuff, okay? So you can fall into falsehood very easy, but God gave us a book so that we can know for absolute sure that he is God, that he wrote the Bible. And how does he do that? He does it by prophesying and then making what he prophesied come true, okay? And so that's my problem with this whole thing, is that when is this rapture going to come true? Because this is the calling God gave me. I'm not leaving till it happens. I know this, right? I'm not leaving till it happens. The end of my journey is the rapture. So I'm not leaving till it happens. So my calling is to prepare people to leave, because this is the experience you're going to have, okay? I'm trying to get other Christians prepared, but how am I going to get you prepared? Because you can believe the truth, you can believe in Jesus, it won't make you stop sinning. You understand? You can accept Jesus, have a crying experience, come forth, receive the Holy Spirit, jabba dabba do kuna watata, praying the whole line, right? And you can still walk out of here and not have a mind to live for God and not understand why you don't have a mind. But you don't have a mind to live for God because your cup is brand new. It still has all of the filth that you came down to the altar with, okay? Until you put the word of God in your cup and get rid of the filth that's in the cup, and I've given this example before, pouring clear water into a dirty cup, more dirt's going to overflow until the water is clean enough to drink. You understand? That's the process we come in. But if you never put the word of God in you, you never get to the process of being completely cleaned out so that you don't have the desire to sin. The desire to sin comes from not putting the word of God inside of you. Then the reemergence and backsliding comes because you stop reading the word, and then the water becomes stale and corroded because it's just sitting, right? Because living water is supposed to be doing what? Active. So water, the word of God is constantly supposed to be poured inside of you, cleaning out your cup, keeping it clean, and it's always, and then when someone comes, they see that that's a clean cup. But if you let it sit and get stale, fungus will build up on it, and then you say, oh, I fell back into sin. Well, how did it happen? You stop putting clean water or living water inside of your cup. And this is supposed to be a perpetual relationship. You understand? Excuse me. This is a perpetual relationship, okay? I'm teaching you right now how to enter into the kingdom, because you can believe what you want. You can believe, like, I already got baptized and I already believe the girl I'm living with and the weed we smoke has nothing to do with my relationship with Jesus. And you could believe that, but Judgment Day will prove to you right, okay? And so I want you to understand that God wrote a book to tell us how to receive salvation. You can't do it your own way. You can't believe what you want to believe about Jesus, okay? There is a step-by-step measure in the Bible that tells you how to be saved. Someone said, a guy was preaching that there's no such thing as lukewarm. If you're saved, you're just saved. And I said, well, if you're saved and you're walking outside of the word of God, you are lukewarm, because you're telling people you're saved, but God knows that you're lukewarm. And he says he's going to spit you out of his mouth. Yep. So you have to understand, we have to be in relationship, okay? The Lord says, stop and explain that. And this is what he wants me to explain. If you've become a Christian and you've been perfect since the first day you became a Christian, please raise your hand. Out there in YouTube land, do that too. Raise your hand. If you became a Christian and you've been absolutely perfect since then, raise your hand. So that means if you become a Christian and you start and you have sinned since then, how is it that you're still a Christian? Unless God put inside of the scripture a way for you to stay in relationships. So he says, my little children, I would that you not sin, but if any of you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is forever standing there making petition for you when you sin, so you can come back into right standing, right? And you can be back in the fold out of what? Your sacrifice, which is what they used to do. Oh, I sin, I better get a goat and go to the temple and sacrifice it so that I can get my sins forgiven. There were sin offerings. But the New Testament says that all sacrifices are on your lips now. There are no sacrifices of animals. All sacrifices come from your lips. So if you want to offer God a praise offering, you can't take an animal. It has to come from your lips. You got to praise his name. If you want to offer him a sin offering, you can't take him an animal. It has to come from your lips. You got to repent. You understand? See, Elohim, God does not change. You understand? God does not change. You said God is the same yesterday and forever. He's the same yesterday and forever. You understand? And so nothing has changed. Only the process of how you get it done has changed. So I stay in temple services. Why? Because if I sin, if the air hose don't give me air in my tire and I already put $2 in and I rip it off because I'm mad, that's not godly. So now I'm in the car going, Father, forgive me in Jesus' name for my burst of anger. Over $2, right? So I'm just saying, stay in relationship. But I know I was in relationship. You know why? You know who told me that wasn't right? It wasn't me, because, you know, we used to get cursed all day and then wake up the next morning. You know who told me that wasn't right? Holy Spirit. He's like, that was very immature. That was a burst of anger I haven't seen in a while, right? Father, forgive me in Jesus' name, you know, I'm going to get better. You know what I mean? So I'm just telling you, the process is staying in relationship. The process is not, you better get perfect in this lifestyle, in this lifetime, okay? So we stay in relationship because we have the ability, which is a gift from God.
Yes, it is.
Ask any angel that's in hell right now. We're sorry for what he ain't trying to hear from that. Ask the angels that sent Enoch a letter and said, Enoch, we wrote a letter. We know we messed up, but we wrote a letter. Could you take this to God and tell him to forgive us? And God said, here you are, angels, and you've been in heaven and you sent in a man to ask for a petition for forgiveness for you. There'll be no forgiveness for angels. And so there's no forgiveness for them. But look how privileged you are.
Yes.
You can ask for forgiveness, come back. Now, you can't do what? What's the one thing you can't do? You cannot mock God.
Right. Slip one over on him.
You can't slip one by. You cannot mock God. You cannot start in sin, continue in sin, and pretend that God doesn't see you, so you never go and take him an offering. Because God knows you sinned, you know you sinned, but you think in your mind, maybe God didn't see that one.
Yeah.
So you keep going, right? And I got away with it. So you keep going and nothing bad has happened to me.
Yeah.
But the scripture says that disobedience, cursing follows disobedience. It doesn't say it grabs you right away. It says cursing follows disobedience, Deuteronomy 28. Until it catches up with you. But one day it catches up.
Yeah.
So once you start sinning, cursing like, wait, do I smell sin? Follow that odor. Follow that odor. Because I smell sin. So it starts following you. And you're like, I got away with it again. until one day you're walking out of the store and you got cookies in your pocket and a security guard grabs you, personal experience, and you go, oh! Cursing, caught up with me. Take you upstairs, we're calling your mama. Mm-hmm. Oh, so see, so understand, you guys gotta understand, you're in a relationship, okay? You're in a relationship. You're in a relationship with your wives. You're in a relationship. You can't say silly stuff. I'm gonna call you a name and I ain't gonna never say I'm sorry. You're in a relationship with your wife. You're in a relationship with your children. So those relationships have to be handled with sacrifices of forgive me.
Yeah.
I didn't mean, let me correct that. Because I don't want to be not like Jesus. I'm here to serve. I'm not here to be served.
Right.
You understand? Okay. Me and Pastor Ben were watching something. He came over and we were watching a thing called Mormons. What they believe and who are they? So the question that God had to me was, because they say that they're born again Christians, are they born again Christians? Because if you ask a Mormon, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, right here. Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. Right? Okay, so now you're messed up on that. Okay, I'll get them. They don't believe in the deity of Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus was God? Yes. They will say, and you'll go, oh, they believe that Jesus is God. Do you believe he came in the flesh? Of course he came in the flesh. So after a while, you start thinking, maybe they're Christians. But you don't understand who they believe that Jesus is. I'm going to grab my glasses because I do have some reading to do.
Don't take that picture. It's so late. Oh, my goodness. All right. We'll put a commercial there.
Put a commercial there, please. All right. Now, this is what Mormons believe, okay? They believe that the Heavenly Father, God, used to be human. But he ascended up to his God state, and now he's in charge of a planet of his own up in heaven. But he used to be a man. Then, after he became a god, he started having God children with the godmother, the mother goddess. And so the mother goddess and Elohim are in heaven, okay, are in heaven, and they're having all these God children. And since Joseph Smith was a polygamist, they believe that God also has many wives up there, and he has a lot of kids. Two of his kids was Jesus and Lucifer. And they got in an argument over how to save this new world that Dad had created. And so they disagreed with how to do it. Lucifer wanted to just make them all believe, and Jesus wanted to go and be an example for them. And so they got in an argument, and that's when the fight began. Now, the half the people, the children, believed what Jesus wanted to do was the best, and those were called Nephites, and the other half was called Lamanites, and they didn't believe in the Jesus way, or they were neutral. And God, because they didn't believe Jesus way, turned them all into black people. And so, cause see, you guys are laughing, right?
That's where
we came from. So, when I was in college. When I was in college and a white guy said, a black guy said that he had, his wife was Mormon and he couldn't go to their church because he was black. I said, why would your wife be at a church that's racist? And she goes, we're not racist. We just know the word of God well. And I was like, what in the Bible tells us to be righteous? But that's what they believe, okay? And so now, if you are here on earth and you accept what Jesus did, because see, now Jesus, all he did was do the right thing, and now he went back to heaven, and he's now a God over his own planet. And all you have to do is believe in the Mormon way and the Mormon doctrine, and you too will become a God and have your own planet, and you'll have your celestial wives. Okay, and then you can have your family and your own planet, which is completely cheating the Muslims because they only get 70 wives.
Right.
But then you get a planet and you get millions. Okay. So now you guys believe that that's silly because you know the word of God. Okay. That's why you believe that that's silly. But see, God gave us, remember that word, that Book of Mormon didn't come to at least 1800 years after Jesus.
Amen.
I believed in, well, I was attempting to believe in Islam. But I was trying to believe in it because of what? Because all my black friends were Muslims. And they seemed to be so cool, right? So I became interested in it. And then I started reading. And when I found out that the Jesus that was in their Bible wasn't the Jesus that's in our Bible, I immediately said, okay, I can't be a part of this because your Jesus never died on the cross. That's what the Quran says. He never died on the cross. Anybody believes it is fooling themselves. So that means the sacrifices never happened. Okay? So you guys have to understand. Now, someone said, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Are you a Seventh-day Adventist that believes in Jesus, or are you a Seventh-day Adventist that believes that Jesus, the Archangel Michael? Because if you believe that Jesus is an angel, then you're out of line with the scriptures, and your confession of your Jesus doesn't give you salvation because Jesus can't be who you want him to be. You understand? So,
amen.
He can't be a good teacher. He can't be a good teacher who came and showed us the way to do it, the Oprah Jesus. He has to be the Jesus Christ that he wrote in the Bible, mm-hmm. that came to earth or birthed himself into the earth,
yeah.
and with a salvation plan for you, okay? I was reading in Hebrew the other day and I realized this, the name Jesus in Greek, 888, is the numerical value of the word in Hebrew for the plan. So Jesus is the plan. Jesus was God's plan of salvation. So we have to understand that. Understanding what happened in 1948 and understanding that God wrote about 1948 in the book of Deuteronomy thousands of years before 1948 came, and understanding that the Holocaust came and God prophesied about it, and the Western Wall is a proof that it happened and the temples were destroyed. All of this history that was pre-written in the Bible should tell you that the God of the Bible is the real God, okay? I'm saying this because the Lord says, we have a little time left, but Satan never stops fighting.
Right.
And deception is easy. So now, if you're black and you believe that you're a Hebrew Israelite, is that possible?
No.
If you're a black person and you say, I'm an original Hebrew, is that possible? It's not possible. Because Genesis chapter 10 gives you the genealogy of all nationalities.
Right.
And he tells you who Cush is, who Ham is. He tells you who that Ethiopians were black. So that means some black people held some Hebrew people in slavery for 400 years. Mm-hmm. Or mistreated them for 400 years. So then when it happened to black people, and God told him that the people that do this to you, I'm going to curse them, and then we're in slavery for 400 years, then we wonder, I wonder why it was 400 years. But see, since they made movies that the Egyptians were white and the Hebrews were white, you think it was just white people enslaving white people. Because you haven't read your Bible, right? So you can believe that, but if God rolled back the tape and showed you the truth, you'll go, oh my goodness, look how bad we was treating those Hebrews. Look what we did to them. And then you see our 400, you go, oh, I know why God's doing this. So we have to understand history. We have to understand history not through what you watched on TV, but what the Bible tells you.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because Jesus can't be who you want him to be. He has to be what the Word of God says.
Amen.
With that, I want to turn to the board. I hope Pastor Ben can see our board. Can you guys see our board?
Only a handful can see it.
Only a handful, but you
can't see it at all.
But you can see it, right?
They can see it.
Okay, good.
But
they can see it. Okay, good. I want to show you guys something. A friend of mine, John, he does this message, and he's showing, he's the one that did this thing. And I'm like, okay, he says, Jesus' name is misspelled. Do you know that the Greeks, if you didn't know any better, you would believe that Jesus Christ's name was misspelled in Greek, okay? Because they left out a letter. And so why would God allow the Greek language if God is divine and he knows exactly, and he wrote the Bible, how is it possible that he would leave out a letter while they spell Jesus unless the Bible is not correct, right? So, Jesus' name in Greek equals 888, okay? Understand that. What does 8 stand for? A new beginning, right? That's the new beginning. What does Jesus come for? To bring the world a new beginning. Salvation through Jesus Christ is 888. The Trinity bringing you what? A new beginning. Okay? Elohim in Hebrew is 86. When you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Bereshit bara Elohim. What's the third word I said? Elohim, right? If you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, which is the first book of the New Testament, it says, and I'm going to read it. It says, It says, the book of the generations of Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus. In Greek, it has this name for Jesus with one letter missing as the third word. So you got Jesus in the third as being the third word in Genesis chapter 1, and you got Elohim as the third word in Genesis chapter 1, and you got Jesus as the third word in Matthew chapter 1. So both first books has the third name mentioning God. Now watch this. They take out a letter, and so it ends up being 688. Now what is Elohim in Hebrew? 86. So 86 times 8 is 688. So God is saying the Jesus of this that begins the New Testament is the Jesus that's is really the Elohim bringing you salvation. So 8 times Elohim equals 688, which is the misspelling, we think, of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. But it's not misspelled. It's spelled that way so God can say, this is Elohim. He's the Elohim bringing a new beginning. You understand? So all numerical values in the Bible, like when you read in Deuteronomy 32, it says they despise the rock of their salvation, or Jesus is the rock of our salvation. The word Zor in Hebrew, 296, but 3 times 296 is 888. So the rock of our salvation is Jesus. The Elohim of Matthew chapter 1, which is Jesus, is the Elohim that's going to bring us a new salvation. You understand? So God didn't misspell the name. God had them take one letter out so it would equal out to Elohim times 8. You understand?
Amen.
Now, when God does stuff like this, I go, who takes time to do all this? Just write the book. But the Bible says that God is perfect in all of his ways. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't do anything that's not perfect. And so he wrote the Bible. It's perfect, not just in word. It's perfect in numerical values. It's perfect in prophecy. So what it says comes true. Do we get that?
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to read something, and then you guys, we'll play kind of a game, okay? In Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, this is what it says. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. You hear that?
Yes.
Who's speaking there?
Right.
Jesus. This is New Testament. Because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ as he's given it to John, right? So he's saying, look, Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, fear not, I am the first and the last. That's Jesus speaking. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, these things says the first and the last, which was dead and is now alive. Who was dead and is now alive and is the first and the last?
Jesus.
So he's saying, I am the first and the last. I was dead, but now I'm alive. That's Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. This Old Testament, right? Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. So you mean the Old Testament, God is claiming to be the first and the last? And then in the New Testament, in Revelation, Jesus is claiming to be the first and the last? So which one is God? Let me read another one. Isaiah 48, verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. That's Isaiah 48, verse 12. So God is telling you there's 7 verses in the Bible that says first and the last, speaking of God. So do you have a problem that the Jesus that you believed in is also God? Do you have a problem with that? You listen, because they're going to tell you that Jesus is God's son, but he's not God. And you've got to know the scriptures enough when you answer your door to tell them, oh, I've got 7 scriptures that I'll tell you that Jesus is the first and the last and God is the first and the last. And if you need this, I need you to have it with you because I want you, if you should talk to him, to show him that's 7 times. Jesus says it 4 times and God says it 3 times and they both saying they're the first and the last. So you tell me which one's the first and the last. Now listen. As you're dealing with people, Mormons, anyone that does not believe the doctrine of the Bible, the Mormon lady said, well, you know, my son got saved because somebody preached the gospel to him. Well, okay, good. She said, he said, they invited me into their house. I said it wrong. First of all, if Jehovah's Witness standing at your door, that's where they stay.
Yep.
You don't invite any spirit into your house. This is instructions from the Bible. Do not invite that spirit into your house because an invitation is an invitation. The Jehovah's Witness might leave and the spirit might decide to stay, but you invited them in.
Yep.
Said, is that true, Pastor? We had a young man here that he was trying to prove to the Mormons that, you know, they had the wrong Jesus. So he was inviting them to his house. And they left a book so he can start reading. And he called me and Drea one night. He's screaming. Come and get me. I'm not moving till you come and get me. I'm like, what's wrong? He said, something's touching me. I said, what do you mean something's touching you? He says, every time I try to lay down, something touches me. I said, what happened? I said, you've been doing drugs? I haven't been doing no drugs. So we go over there, and we're like, PQ, you in there? And he's like, shh, they might hear you. PQ, you in there? Come open the door. He's afraid to come because he thinks they'll touch him again. So we finally get the door open. And I said, what happened? He said, oh no, I was sitting here studying with these Mormon guys and they left this book here. So I was reading it a little bit and I was just wanted to tell them that Jesus is Lord. And I was saying, you invited them in? And he said, yeah. And he said, and you kept the book? So there's a reason why there's a scripture that says you don't invite them in. Do not allow them into your home. You understand? Because what you invite in takes a whole prayer session to get out. And oil. You understand? That's just a little pastoring for you. Okay. Okay, now, I need you guys to go to Hebrews chapter 1. Oh, the book of Hebrews chapter 1. That's pastoring, man, because, you know, you might not be a black Hebrew Israelite, but if you listen long enough, remember what the Lord told me. He says, the big sin of Eve was not that she sinned. Her sin was not the sin. It didn't start with the sin.
Right.
The sin started with Satan, tell me what you got to say.
Yep.
That's where it starts. It don't start with the sin. It starts with the opening your ear to a liar. So you got to cut that off immediately. You understand?
Amen.
You're in Hebrews chapter 1. Okay. It says this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And through him, he made the universe. Through who? Through the Son, the universe was made. How was the universe made? Made through spoken word. So that means that the word of God made the universe, okay? The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being.
Yes.
Not kinda, the exact representation of his being. Sustaining all things by his powerful word, after he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. This my left hand is called Smole. It's darkness. This is Amina. This is my right hand, okay? This is in right standing. This is righteousness, okay? When the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of God, it doesn't mean that Jesus got back up there and said, where's my chair? And then he sat on God's right hand.
Right.
Sitting in right hand, means you're back in unity, in right standing, in perfection with God, okay? So there's no right hand and left hand in Hebrew when you're talking about spiritual matters. They use the word smole, which merely means in darkness, and amina, right? But understand, Jesus and God are not sitting on two separate chairs,
right?
All right? He's sitting back in right standing, okay?
Amen.
That's part of our Hebrew class, and I got the book and the Hebrew studies for you to understand that, because it's very important, unless, because you'll start talking to somebody and they'll go, well, how is Jesus in heaven standing next to God if he is God? Let's go. Okay, Here we go. The sun is the exact radiant and the exact representation, and we read that. It says, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Today I have become your father. He has never said that to any angel. So Jesus is not the archangel Michael. You understand?
Man.
He is God Almighty. He is not an angel. He's not the angel of the Lord who appeared, and that in Hebrew doesn't say he's the angel of the Lord. It says messenger Yahweh, which means that it's God coming to give a message.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen. 8 minutes, Pastor.
There's no confusion in Scripture if you study to show thyself approved. And he says, for which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. Again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. In speaking of the angels, he said, he makes angels wind and his servants a flame of fire. But to the son, he says, this is God speaking, to the son, he says, your throne, O God, wait a minute, God is calling Jesus God. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. The righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. So twice God calls Jesus God. Okay? What is Elohim in Hebrew? Gods. Did you know that? But if I say Bereshit Bara Elohim, see, if I say Bara, I have to use Bara in a plural to say a plural word, Elohim. But in the Hebrew, I say Bara, which is singular, Elohim. So I'm speaking of Elohim as being singular one, but I'm speaking, you know, in a plural manner. But Elohim is Father, Son, Holy Spirit in one. And I'm going to make you, man, each one of you, as an Elohim. What am I going to make you? A body, a soul, and a spirit. But are there three of you?
No.
Do all three of you get different mail? Okay. So God is one. Okay? He is one person. He is one person. He exists in one. He is three beings. He exists in one. At some time, there will be no Father, Son, Holy Spirit, because in the millennium, there'll be one God and that's it in one name. Because we don't need the salvation process now. Right now, we're in a salvation process. God says, I have the ability to separate myself. I'm going to send myself to the earth as my son, but I'm going to still be in heaven. How is God going to do that? I'm living water. Is there water here in California?
Yep.
Is there water in Texas?
Yes.
Okay, so can water be more than one place?
Yes.
God is living water, okay? So don't question who he is. He has the ability to do this. He separated himself for a salvation process. So the Son came to do what? To die on the cross for your sins, to give you a new covenant. The Holy Spirit came after the Son left to live and reside inside of you until he can make you your own individual light in heaven. Because right now you have a body and you have God's light living inside of you. But when you resurrect it, when you go up, you will become a light and you will shine as lights in heaven. Okay? So I'm saying all of this today because the Lord is like, many people don't know how to defend what they believe in. And if someone comes to you and gives you a false doctrine, or they're trying to explain, or you're trying to help someone understand who Jesus is, if you don't know, you can't help them. You can't help somebody swimming, and you can only swim in shallow water. You can't dive in deep water. Close the door and say, I'm sorry, I don't swim in deep water, because I don't know, and you're not going to pull me down with you, right? But if you understand who Jesus is, I was in the mall when I was a young Christian talking to two Jehovah Witnesses. And after they finished talking to me, I started telling people, you know what? I think Jehovah Witnesses are Christians.
Mm.
But Jehovah Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't even believe he's the one that you should really be looking for. They think Jehovah is the name you should really be talking about, not Jesus, because they believe Jesus is a separate person because he was an angel. So you guys have to know that there are religions that claim to speak in the name of Jesus, but they are not from Christ. The books that they give you were written after the Old Testament and the New Testament were finished. You understand? The Quran doesn't even come into existence till 600 years after Jesus. The Book of Mormon, 1800 years after Jesus. You understand? So all these books are written by people after Jesus had already accomplished salvation.
Amen.
Do I have a second, Pastor Ben?
3 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Since I have 3 minutes, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to tell you to read First Kings chapter 13 when you get home. And I'm going to try to explain a little bit of it right now. Okay? It says in 1 Kings chapter 13, it says, "By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethlehem to Jeroboam and was standing by the altar to make an offering. He cried out against the altar, 'By the word of the Lord, O altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to you, and you, on you he will be sacrificed, a priest and high.'" Okay, this is not it. I'm going to have to find this story. The man of God from Judah. This should be it. Why did he believe? Yeah, this is actually the story. So you guys read the whole thing when you get home. This is the story, okay? This guy comes and he's a prophet from God. God tells him, go and preach the truth to this person, right? He goes and he preaches the truth to the guy, right? God says, after you preach, don't stay there and don't eat anything, don't drink anything, don't do it. You come back. And you come back the same way that you left, okay? And he said, this is my commandment. So the prophet goes to the guy, he prophesies to him, the guy shrivels up, and then he heals him, and he says, truly, you are a prophet. He says, I want to honor you, stay here and have something to eat with me. What did God tell him?
Don't do it.
You can't stay there and eat or do nothing. So he says, no, God told me. Now he quoted the scripture. God said, when I should come and do this and come back the same way, and that's it. And I cannot eat or drink with you. Then as he's on his way back, a false prophet says, hey, where's that guy that was prophesying to you? Said, oh, he left. He went back this way. The false prophet goes and catches up and said, hey, I too am a prophet, and God told me to tell you to come back and eat. Now he's hungry,
right?
So he has to make a decision. Did you hear what I just said?
Yep, make a decision.
Now he's hungry. Mm-hmm. So he's dealing with his flesh, yep, or the word of God. And so he goes back with the guy because he really wants to get something to eat, but he know what God told him. He's just disobeyed.
Yep.
So now he's back, he's eating. And the word of God comes to him and says, you're going to die because you didn't do what I told you to do. He did not say, but it was him. It was a false prophet that told me, and he knew I was hungry. He didn't say that. He knew judgment's coming upon me. So as he's going back, a lion jumped him and killed him. And God judged him in that way. And you know what the false prophet said? Oh my goodness, the poor prophet, look at what happened to him for not hearing the word of God properly.
Yeah.
The false prophet didn't care. You understand? The false prophet's like, ain't my fault. Because see, Satan's going to be like, I don't care. Wasn't my fault. Yeah. The black Hebrew Israelite, as you both standing there, and he says, neither one of you believe in the Jesus of the Bible, because the Jesus that came didn't die for any colors. So I'll see you later. And then you, then they're quoting that Jesus only came for the black Jews. Said that is not the Jesus of the Bible. So now you believed in a different Jesus. Okay, your Jesus was filled with hate for other races. So therefore, as you're going into hell, you got to say you can't go. But they tricked me. If Pastor Sandy was headed into hell because I believed that Jesus was now only a prophet and he never died on the cross because I liked the name Rahman Abdul Rahim better than Sandy. And that almost worked. I even asked on the way out, can I keep the name? But understand, you are responsible for knowing truth. I don't want you sitting in church, not reading, not studying. You don't know the Bible. Anybody can come to you and lead you away with any word because you're hearing something new and it's tickling your ears. And there you go. Pastor Sandy got to come get you. Like I'm going to get those two kids, snatch them away from the black Hebrew Israelites because they're on their way to go sacrifice an animal that night. I'm like, why are you going to sacrifice that? Because we're supposed to be keeping the law and we Hebrew Israelites, we're original. And I'm like, who told you this? If you don't know your own word, you're going to be responsible. Okay? Get in the Bible. The first responsibility of everybody is to read the Gospels, to know who Jesus is, to know what he did to save you. Okay? To know that there can't be some other religion coming. If an angel or anyone comes to you that preaches to you another gospel other than the one that has already been preached, let that person be condemned to hell. That's what Galatians says. Okay? So he says, not only himself, he says, even if an angel. So if you said I was at my bedside and an angel came and told me that Jesus is not the only way. You a lie, and the demon that told you that is a lie because he wasn't an angel. You understand? The gospel has been here. It's been established. Prophecy has been made. Everything is perfect in the word of God. So stay in the word and listen to your Holy Spirit. Pray. Don't get sidetracked, okay? Don't get sidetracked into new gospel. Because once saved, always saved. It's not that new of a gospel. Jesus said he hated it in 90 AD when it came, okay? It's an old thing making a return. And that's what Satan does. That one didn't work. Let me come back again. So you have to know your word because you are protecting your eternal soul, your new house, your new dwelling, your eternal life with God. You're protecting your $1 million, $1 billion estate that costs more than gold, but costs the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, don't sacrifice it for soup, because sin is soup. Praise God.
Amen.